Good morning. That song, actually, I just experienced it. God knows just how much we can bear. And you call on Him, He's always there. Shall we pray? Thank you, Lord, Holy Father. Thank you that you are holy this morning. And we come this morning, this afternoon, to ask for your help, because you know how much we can bear. Father, we bless you for your word, and we pray that as it goes forth, the Holy Spirit will convict men of sin, of your righteousness, and judgment to come. And with that conviction, they would cry out in repentance. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Some time ago, I had the opportunity to speak to the young who had really a keen interest in wanting to know what are some of the protections they will need as they go back in September to the so-called learning centers or educational centers. What I had to say to them was what I have to say to our young people this morning. The protections you're going to need are the following. First of all, you're going to need conviction. You have to have conviction. You have to have some non-negotiables. There has to be some things that you're willing to die on the hill for, so to speak. Your convictions are the pillars of your character. They are the structure. They are what define you. You must have convictions about what you believe, about why you believe it, and who you believe in. Because the learning centers, the universities and the schools will try to crush those convictions. And why will they try to crush those convictions? It's because they're biblical convictions. The world is ruled by Satan, who is a liar and the father of lies. And so you have to have conviction. The second thing you're going to need is critical thinking. I didn't say critical race theory, I said critical thinking. Colleges today are big on ideology. It's nothing more than a philosophy that they want you to believe. They will try to get you to follow this philosophy, which for the most part is really mindless. But we who know Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16 reminds us, we have the mind of Christ. God, in reminding his people the first commandment, he says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And so you must be able to think critically and carefully as you face the challenges of the day. And lastly, you must have courage. We heard this morning, it was implied, as our brother reminded us, Joshua chapter 1, which is part of my message, God reminded Joshua to be strong, and to be very courageous. There may be those who would pretend as if you don't exist, but remember, your courage will speak volumes to someone else on campus where you are. You may feel that you will be the only one who will hold the truth, but do not allow their philosophy or their ideology to break you. Daniel lived in the same environment. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego lived in the same environment. They held on to the Lord. They had courage. So the question is, why is this important? Why is it important that we must maintain these protections? Conviction, critical thinking, and courage. Well, you don't need me to tell you that we're living in an upside-down world. You don't need me to tell you the disappointment we have had with our government leaders. You don't need me to tell you that we're living Isaiah 5, where good is evil and evil is good, where truth speakers are silenced and maligned, and wickedness, deception, and lies are exalted. You don't need me to tell you that the kingdom of darkness is against the kingdom of light. You don't need me to tell you that the intent of the institutions that we take our children to are to capture their souls and lose them. This afternoon, I want to give you a biblical perspective so you really understand what is really going on. The first thing you must understand as you're seeing what's going on around you, you must understand that we're under divine judgment. I want you to mark that in your mind. We're under divine judgment. Our political leaders and whomever is so-called running the country or whoever it is that's controlling the Wizard of Oz is not in control of this. God is in charge. God is in charge. And we are experiencing divine judgment. Why do I say this? Why do I say this? I want to show you why. And I want to show you by opening up our Bibles to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Being historical here. Romans chapter 1. How do you know when a nation is under divine judgment? Can you be sure? Yes, you can know and you can be sure. And I'm going to show you from Romans chapter 1 why we are under divine judgment. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. We'll stop there for now. Any nation, any society, any culture of human beings, if they turn away from the truth to unrighteousness, will experience the wrath of God. Now, the wrath of God takes many forms. There's eternal wrath, that's hell, and that is where those who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ will end up unless you repent, and there is hope, for I will show you at the end, towards the end of the message, how you can escape that. There is eschatological wrath. That is the wrath of the end times, spoken of in Matthew 24 and 25 by our Lord, and echoed in Revelation as it exposes the wrath of God on the earth. And then there's cataclysmic wrath. That's the wrath of where you have massive earthquakes and floods, the most massive being the flood of Genesis, where God drowned the entire world, save one family. Then there's sowing and reaping wrath. Whatever you sow, you reap. That is spoken of in Galatians chapter 6. There are consequences to sinful behavior built in to that sin, for God is not mocked. Thus, there are many aspects of the wrath of God, but there is another kind of wrath that's spoken of in Romans chapter 1. That is the wrath of divine abandonment. And this is historical. Every nation, given the truth of God, who turns away from it experiences that wrath of abandonment. And we know this. In Acts chapter 14, we're told that God has allowed all nations to go their own way. And this is what's been spoken of here in Romans chapter 1. Verse 21, we read, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made unto corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things." Wherefore, verse 24 speaks out this wrath. It spells out, I should say, this wrath. "Wherefore," verse 24, "God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies among themselves." So the first level of God's divine judgment of his abandonment on a nation is that you will see, plain and simple, a sexual revolution. That will be the first evidence that God has abandoned this nation. Verse 25 tells us why. "Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who's blessed forever. Amen." Verse 24. The first evidence you will see that God has abandoned the nation is you will see a sexual revolution. So in the 70s and 80s, if you remember, again, this is historical, you had the sexual revolution that began the first step of God's abandonment. Step two is in verse 26. "For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature." Verse 26. When God abandons a nation, the first thing you will see is a proliferation of a sexual revolution followed by a homosexual revolution. Verse 26 and 27. As I studied this passage and looked at the historical context of it, I found out something very interesting. That the judgment falls, the second part of it, falls on the woman first, lesbianism. Because you see, when God abandons a nation, the strongest and highest human instinct is affected. Mothers nurturing their children, the strongest instinct, it's perverted. Tells you the severe blow of this judgment. Then we have the men in verse 27. "And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which is meat." So you have the lesbian and homosexual revolution. There's an immediate penalty, and historically many of you will understand that as we went through in the 1980s and 90s, the AIDS epidemic, because that kind of behavior has its own punishment, as well as the judgment of the abandonment of God. Why does this happen? Verse 28. "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." A reprobate mind is a depraved mind. In the Greek, it actually means non-functional. And what is that? It is when you're a man and you think you're a woman. A reprobate mind. It is a kind of insanity. The reason people are doing this is because they are under the judgment of God. So when we see the transgender movement, and this is very important for the young people because you need to know this. When you see the transgender movement and government making laws trying to protect transgender identity, and you know that this is absolute and total insanity, you know that we have now reached the stage of the reprobate mind. The wrath of God has fallen. What this says to us is this: there's no way back. There's no way back to sanity. There's no senators, congressmen, or anyone else that will reverse this. The laws pass to encourage and to protect those that are absolutely insane. It's irrational, it's ridiculous, and yet it is so strong in our culture, so much so that our young people, confused, are being affected by it. That's the reprobate mind. This is judgment. It is judgment. God has abandoned the nation to have them go their own way. So now one would ask, as we look at the landscape and see what's going on in our nation, one would ask, is there hope? Is there hope for the individual? I came here to let you know that there is hope for you. Though God has abandoned the nation as a nation, He has not turned His eyes or His ears on you, the individual. For Isaiah chapter 1 reminds us, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sin be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Yes, we are experiencing as a nation the abandonment of God, but there is hope. And as I close my short message to you, many of us as Christians may be asking the question, well, what's going to happen? We see our nation going the way of Sodom and Gomorrah. We see things upside down. We see the deception. We see the lies. We see the corruption. Which is, I might remind you, the end point of this wrath. For as we go back to Romans chapter 1, verse 29, 28 says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do these things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful." This is what we're seeing in our nation. When someone would simply take a rifle and go into a mall and mow down innocent people. When someone would go into the store and for no reason burn it down, killing so many people. We are living in a very serious time, and so we would ask, what do we do in these times? Here is encouragement to those who know our Lord Jesus Christ. I think of Malachi. Malachi lived in a similar environment. God was judging the nation. And God's people were asking, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? And Malachi gave them this beautiful message. "For those who fear my name shall a son of righteousness arise with healing in his wings." And so those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ need not worry We don't have to be anxious, for we know that one day, very, very soon, the Lord Jesus Christ will put in his appearance. We know that one day, very, very soon, we don't know the hour or the day, the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. We know that there will come a time when the trump of God shall sound. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. He will take us out before the eschatological judgment falls upon this world. That is our hope. But I also have a message for those who are here, under the sound of my voice, whether on Zoom or otherwise, who may not know of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have no hope. You are under the wrath of God's eternal judgment. The scripture says, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Isaiah cries out as we cry out, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Because you see, sin must be dealt with. Those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ, we settled the sin question when we accepted the work that Christ did on the cross. We accepted the work, we believed his work as the penalty for our sins. We were clothed with his righteousness. He gave us eternal life. But if you hear and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, whether you're under the sound of my voice on Zoom or elsewhere, you are under the judgment of God. And when your eyes are closed in death, you will experience the eternal wrath we spoke about at the beginning of this message. You will have to pay for your own sins in hell. But that does not have to happen. For here is the word again. Come now. Let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Why will you perish? My message is simple and short, but it is the truth. And we who know the Lord Jesus Christ are dedicated to the truth. We love the truth. We speak the truth. We live the truth. And this is the message. I trust that if you are here this afternoon and you have not made it right with God, know this, the judgment of God's abandonment has already started. And if you would die without knowing Christ, you will experience his eternal judgment. But here is the word, come now. Let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You will have the hope, not only in this life, but that which is to come. And the wrath won't affect you, because you would be in Christ. And the Lord, yes, knows them that are his. For the foundation of the Lord standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And so we implore you, we warn you, we provoke you to repentance. Shall we pray? Holy Father, we thank thee so much for your word, which is true. And it is not affected by the times or the seasons. For your word is forever settled in heaven. And it's true. Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit will continue to convict men, women, boys, and girls who've heard this message and who are hearing your message. They would be convicted of sin, of righteousness, and judgment to come. That they would cry out for repentance and open their hearts to you. We ask, O God, that they would believe the gospel, the power of God unto salvation. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name.